and we are the Nonprofits. Hi, everybody. I'm your host, Jeff D. Our co-host is Dennis Lube.
Howdy.
Producer Russell Glasser.
Hello.
And our engineer, Matt Dillahunty.
Hi.
We are live. Hi, Matt. We are live December 3rd, 2005, now broadcasting from Dillahunty International Studios. Today's opening music was Space Invader by the Pretenders from their eponymous 1980 album. That means of the same name.
Mm.
Eponymous. I learned a new word today.
I never knew that. I only knew it as EP. I learned something.
The Atheist Community of Austin is a non-profit educational organization promoting positive atheism and the separation of church and state. We have weekly meetings Sunday mornings at Romeo's at 1500 Barton Springs Road, except for the third Sunday of each month when we have our lecture series at 12:30 p.m. in the reception room of the Austin History Center, located in downtown Austin at 9th and Guadalupe. The next lecture will be on December 18. The Godless Gamers meet Monday nights at 7 p.m. at the Glasser Residence. ACA Happy Hour takes place at Antonio's near Highway 35 and 183 every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. For more information about the ACA, call our voicemail at area code 512-371-2911 or visit the website at www.atheist-community.org.
Woo!
Everybody have a good couple of weeks?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Stuffed myself a turkey a whole bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had a Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Those of us that are not theists here, which is all of us,
mm-hmm.
what'd you give thanks to?
Well, the turkey, first off.
Really? And you thought the best way to thank it would be to kill it and...
To see how delicious it was.
Burn it,
it was
and
quite
consume
good.
Its flesh.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
I took a road trip to Santa Fe.
Santa Fe, yes. That would be New Mexico?
Yes.
Yes?
Santa Fe, New Mexico, where I had a big bash with my whole family and some of my sister's friends' family, some of whom are very conservative.
Right.
And they gave thanks to our soldiers and stuff, which... You know,
well, yeah,
that's all right.
Good.
But he did it in a very...
Somebody does have to kill those turkeys,
right? Those giant mutant turkeys.
Yeah.
Right,
we're not in Turkey. We're in Iraq.
I in turn decided not to pick a fight, but I gave thanks for John Stewart, who is the only reliable news source.
Yes. Yes.
And later on that weekend, I took my son to church for the hell of it.
Uh huh.
Well, I
for the hell of it.
I didn't actually...
in New Mexico.
I didn't actually participate in any ceremonies, but there's this cool giant cathedral on the Santa Fe Plaza that I've never been inside. So I decided to take Ben inside, and there was like a holy water receptacle and the big man on the stick in the lobby.
They weren't doing services, though.
I think they were, but we were in a side area.
Uh-huh.
So I like dipped my fingers in some holy water and splashed it on him because
and he giggled.
It didn't burn him or anything.
It didn't burn you either.
Churches are weird because they're like I remember as a kid in grade school and even high school, after hours there's this big facility with like nobody in it, and it's a very weird sensation being inside a place like that. I find churches to be the same sort of thing.
It's like a library with no books, you know.
Yeah, big freaking useless building. In a parking garage, at least,
but
you can look and see the cars they're storing.
Right, right.
They're nice looking if you can get past the whole religious aspect of it. I mean,
the architecture
is
beautiful.
I've always thought stained glass windows are cool.
Pretty.
Apparently, you're not supposed to splash yourself with holy water. I found that out later from my ex-Catholic. You're supposed to dip and cross yourself. But, you know,
it's
at least I didn't, you know, put my face in and take a big guzzle or anything. So I only sort of violated
it. You don't
put
it in one of those, like, perfume vaporizer things and like that? Make yourself smell all holy? No,
I thought that was for like spritzing in the face of monsters or something.
It's a shaving aftershave. Splash it on.
Or get a water sprinkler and do the whole congregation at once. You know,
right in the backyard, and everybody in their swim trunks and jumping through it. Or you could get one of those wacky water weenies. Remember those things? Water weenies. You'd like attach the hose to this thing in the backyard, and it was this rubber tube thing like a hose, but right. It would flop around from the force of the water coming out, little holes poked in it.
A holy weenie.
Be a holy weenie.
You could get one of those, beer hats, and you'd walk around
ready to drink,
ready to consecrate.
Was there a mug next to the holy water so you could just?
No, there was not.
And
no.
Does it turn to blood?
And to be honest, not that I tasted it or anything, but it really just looked like slightly cloudy water. Believe it or not.
Cloudy.
Slightly cloudy? That's not a good thing. It's supposed to be, fresh. That would tend to indicate it's been sitting there for a while, I think.
Evidently, the Holy Spirit isn't completely invisible.
Oh, maybe.
He's a little mossy.
Well, there's that verse about...
I'm not sure I'd even splash cloudy water on myself.
There's that verse about God's face moved across the surface of the waters. Maybe that's what you saw.
Maybe.
Oh my God.
Saying God was maybe a little dirty and it left some scum in the water.
It's hard work sending hurricanes.
Anybody know?
You bless it, don't you?
So you just take, can it be tap water?
You take tap water and some schmuck goes, Omni Deo Patri, whatever, and it's holy water. Poop.
And it kills vampires dead.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a magic spell.
And I mentioned some people...
It's a magic spell that makes a magic potion.
Yeah.
I mentioned
in Dungeons & Dragons, you can use that kind of magic potion. Yes. Drive away
evil spirits,
zombies and things, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
I mentioned to Ben that some people think it has magic powers because I like to educate him on these things.
Uh-huh.
And I asked him if he felt any different after I splashed him, and I don't think he did.
He said, "I feel cloudier."
Okay. The Celebrity Atheist page is a collection of notable individuals who have been public about their lack of belief in deities, and that's at www.celebatheists.com. A very, very cool site, though be sure, on their main page, you only see, this ancient list of atheist celebrities that doesn't get updated for some reason. You have to click on, the More link to get the complete thing. Heart of the Beholder will screen at the First Glance Film Festival in Los Angeles today at 5 p.m.
Ooh, cool.
Los Angeles is, that's two time zones behind us, right?
Yeah,
so it's only noon now. You got 5 hours, people in California, to work this out.
Means you can listen to the whole show and still have 3.5.
Right. The screening will be held at the Raleigh Studios across the street from the Paramount Pictures in the Charlie Chaplin Theater.
Cool.
Which is pretty damn cool. Now, Heart of the Beholder has won 5 independent film awards in a row. I think we talked about that last episode.
I need to see this.
And I guess this is number 6, so they are encouraging people to show up. The cost is $10. You can buy tickets online at www.tix.com, that's TIX.com/event.asp?event=41805. I'll be passing this to Matt so he can send it to the chat room for people listening there. Or for more information, and there may be links, for more information you can go to www.beholder.com. That's the site for the film. I want to congratulate the Center for Inquiry. The new addition to their transnational headquarters was completed. The 15,600-square-foot research building includes new offices, an executive meeting room, and 3 seminar rooms that can be expanded into a large conference hall. The 3 buildings of the Center for Inquiry now total some 35,000 square feet on 7.5 acres. There are additional... There are an additional 3 residences for research faculty, students, and foreign visitors. The research park is adjacent to SUNY, the State University of New York, in the Buffalo Amherst campus.
Wow.
On the CFI events calendar, on December 10 through the 17th is the CFI cruise. I'm pretty sure it is way too late to be signed up for the CFI cruise, but just in case you've got an extra $1,500 in your pocket and you just have to do something with it and had never heard about this before, You can join Daniel Dennett, Susan Blackmore, Paul Kurtz, and Adam Hart Davis, cruise to Cabo San Lucas, Mazatlan, and Puerto Vallarta in Mexico with secular humanists and skeptics aboard Holland, America's Oosterdam. Join leading minds in critical inquiry for 7 days of entertaining and educational lectures, discussions, and recreational activities. Prices start at just $1,472.84 each for a two to a cabin.
Puerto Vallarta. I just love saying that.
That's a good word. Puerto Vallarta. Spanish is a cool language.
Yeah.
You have a comment, Russell?
No.
To reserve your spot or to get more information, call 1-800-398-7571 or email cruise@cfiflorida.org. If anybody listening to this show knows of any events or groups or websites that you think deserve mention on our show, please let us know by emailing nonprofits@atheist-community.org. Want to welcome everybody who's hanging out in the chat room. Hi, everybody hanging out in the chat room.
There's actually some talk that my mic may actually be way too high, but okay. Keep going. You're fine.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. We have this live chat room. If you're not listening to this show live on Saturday, December 3, then there is no chat room right now. But when we broadcast every other Saturday from 2 to 3:30 Central Time, you can log in to the IRC chat channel that runs alongside the show and hang out with other listeners to comment on things that we're saying. We monitor that room and sometimes respond to things said.
Since it is December now, can I just say happy holidays to all our listeners, since I want to be part of the evil secular plot to not say Merry Christmas?
You Christmas destroyer.
Sure, go ahead.
Happy holidays.
Okay.
Happy holidays.
What is our happy holiday? Oh, it's solstice.
Solstice.
Right.
Which, you know, if you care about this astronomical curiosity that occurs once a year.
That's right.
Then you can have a holiday about that. As far as I'm concerned, you can have a holiday anytime you want just by saying
I always bring up the point that Sir Isaac Newton's birthday falls on December 25th.
Yeah.
So we can celebrate that, too. Cause
but he was a religious guy.
Yeah, but he also, contributed a lot to science and stuff and led
sure.
to the conflict that religion is in today.
If only he'd known.
Yes.
I actually watched an episode of Nova or something recently where they were talking about how he not only was into alchemy and everything else, but secretly rejected the Trinity, the doctrine of the Trinity.
Secretly?
Yeah, it was in his private notes that weren't released. They're not owned by somebody else.
What did he think there was instead of a Trinity?
Oh, he just didn't think that...
quadrology.
That the Trinity was real, that there were three personages of God.
What did he think? We don't know.
He
was an A-Trinityist.
At the time, that was heresy, which would have gotten him locked
right.
up, so that he couldn't continue his...
But a second ago now, you said he was a nut, and all you've mentioned that
he's
nutty was astrology. What else?
Alchemy.
I'm sorry, alchemy.
Yeah, he spent years messing with alchemy, but also looking for secret code-like messages from God within the natural world. It's all in his private notes, which were hidden for years, which some collector bought.
Well, you know, it's easy to sit here from our 21st century position and call people nuts for trying things that we know now are clearly bunk. But, that at that time, alchemy probably wasn't well known to be nonsense because they didn't have a real good grasp of chemistry yet. And alchemy actually led to the discovery of chemical laws.
At that time, for Newton, alchemy was a step back.
Oh.
Most scientists had already, this is mysticism and nonsense. And he went through, old texts from other religions and the mythology of the Greeks and tried to make the case that those were actually... alchemical formulas where Zeus is this element and somebody else is this element, and if you combine them, you get this.
Okay.
Replaying those mythological stories in quirky little scientific ways.
All right. He was a nut, but he was very good at math.
So there.
Yes, he was.
All right.
He was the William Dembski of his day.
Sure.
Except that he actually accomplished something.
William Dembski?
Newton.
Oh, Newton.
Yes. Newton will be remembered.
On to our listener email. Sean writes, I am a listener of your radio show via the iTunes podcast. Oh, that's right. We have the podcast for those people. Do we have, like, a link to subscribe to the podcast on our webpage?
We do at nonprofitsradio.com. But the easiest way, if you have iTunes, is to just go to the podcast directory and search for Atheist or Nonprofits.
Okay, cool. Non-profits.
So
non-profits. Or one word.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never tried one word.
Okay. I just want you to know that I really admire what you're doing with the radio show. I listen regularly and look forward to new shows each month. I am a former U.S. Marine and aspiring psychologist/philosopher. And I can say that there are indeed atheists in foxholes, and that the Marine Corps isn't just full of stupid jarheads. I cannot stress enough the idea that our current regime, Bush administration, must be ousted and admonished in every way that we atheists/freethinkers, etc., can muster. Protest and education is vital to winning the war against our own government. Whoa, hey. No.
Yeah, hey.
I think I'd stop shy of saying war. I know you big, strong Marine types may be comfortable enough with the idea of war that you can just bandy that word around. I'm going to stay back a bit from characterizing this. Yeah, I think I'll go struggle. Like Bush tried to rename the
right. Bush is now a struggle time president.
Struggle time.
I think
something you do to kids in kindergarten.
Struggle time. Talking about war against our own government is one of those kinds of things I think that could get you into trouble. But the sentiment I completely agree with. I am with each of you 100%. Now, I know that's wrong. I don't mean to be nitpicking, but there are four of us. It's not mathematically
and
possible for you to be with each of us 100%. 25% tops.
Well,
maybe
no,
if you want to go like, you know,
wow.
96, 97% me and 1% each of these guys, that'd be fine too. But.
No, I don't want to be pedantic about this, but mathematically there is a significant amount of overlap between us. But
right,
we don't even agree with each other.
We
100%.
Have to use sat math rather than.
Maybe he just meant with regard to the existence of a god, because
or perhaps this letter shouldn't be analyzed so deeply.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe you should just take your attaboy and go.
I support your efforts in spreading enlightening ideas and thoughts to the world. Please know that what you are doing means something and is reaching people around the planet. Great job. If you need anything from me, just let me know. See, this guy's trying to be really helpful.
Well,
I probably shouldn't be making jokes about anything that he wrote.
I think
which,
more
of
Marines...
course, everything he wrote makes perfect sense. I don't have actual criticisms.
Yeah. I think more Marines should be, you know, philosophers and things like that. Because
yeah.
No one's going to argue with them, you know? I mean... I'd have to think twice.
Okay, in fact, he goes on to be helpful. I am a website designer, and I produce websites for a living.
Ooh.
My own personal website is... Boy, can we give this out on the air? He didn't direct... I'm going to leave that off. Sean, if you want us to give out your personal website, we'd be happy to do that, but we need to be explicitly told, because, you know who knows listening to these things. If you need any help maintaining your own website or want to link my website to yours or vice versa, let me know. Oh, actually, that seems to be permission, right? If we could link to it from our website, we could mention it on.
Sure.
Okay, it's www.spectrum8.net. And I was there. It's a nice-looking site. I'm willing to offer my services to your cause if necessary. If not, that's cool, too. I reside in San Diego, California. I'm currently a student. That's personal information. But
yeah.
There's some impressive educational credentials going on here. My ultimate goals are to become a professor and a researcher, conducting research and teaching at a university someday. I have a great deal of drive and determination to help fellow atheists educate the world on the dangers of religious thought. Anyway, that's all I have to say for now.
Need more people like that.
That's cool, Sean.
We have a crappy-looking website, so, I mean, maybe we should.
Well, so who's our webmaster? Who does he need to actually get in touch
with? Yeah, before you say crappy-looking.
It's kind of you, isn't
it? Kind of me, yeah.
It's kind of you, well, Mr. Crappy-looking.
I am not a web designer. I am a web programmer. I suck at aesthetics.
You can make it jump through hoops, but...
Well, why don't you send Sean an email?
Maybe so.
And get in touch with this man. Check out his site. Get in touch with this man. Give our site a facelift. Also, we have a UFO project.
That's true, which actually is even crappier.
Yeah, I'll go with that. So thanks very much for writing, Sean. We'll try to find some way that we can use your services.
We are our own harshest critics.
Speaking of other people trying to be helpful, Lori writes, first of all... Huh? Yeah. Lori writes, first of all, I want to say I've been listening to the nonprofits for a couple of years now. It helps me stay sane throughout the workday. You're listening to us at work?
That keeps you sane? If it keeps you sane, we're not doing our job.
I heard Jeff D. say in a recent episode that he plays City of Villains. I play COV and COH often and wanted to know what server he played on. I'd like to team up with him sometime. She tells me who she is on the server and how to contact. And she says, hey, Jeff, next time you're on, send me a tell. Well, we worked that out this morning. We actually communicated for a brief bit on chat. She got this 36th level character, which I just totally can't compete with.
Right.
Because I play 18 billion different characters and play them all semi-equally. So, she said she had a bunch of other characters.
We'll find out.
I could sidekick to her, or I can find out some server where she's got a low level guy that we can team up as equals. But so that'll be fun. Now, Dennis here also plays City of Heroes City of Villains.
Yeah.
What are you leaning toward these days, heroes or villains?
Well, I've been playing villains almost exclusively for the past.
Because it's got all the new content, right?
Yeah.
It's all the new content.
Yeah. Got to see all the new stuff. Yeah.
Russell used to, but bailed.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to put in a plug since City of Heroes is back. World of Warcraft is still going really strong after a year, and that an expansion pack is coming out next year.
Did they say it's going to be?
And my level 60 priest. You know, the great thing about Warcraft is that there's no actual defined religion, so you can make up your own tenets
gods and shit. There's cathedrals and statues of the gods.
There's cathedrals and statues, but they don't actually... I don't think they're gods.
Huh. Okay. Mm. Fair enough. But you don't think the ones here are gods.
There are, beings that are 10,000 years old in there.
Uh-huh.
And of course, there's magic and people coming back to life and stuff.
Right.
But I have been unable to locate any actual reference to a god.
Okay.
But Jeff gets to play the Almighty.
Yeah, I get to play the Almighty in the City of Villains.
Yeah. Good for you.
Now,
are you actually Almighty?
Well, I'm only level 6 right now, but I'm getting there.
Level 6 Almighty.
I'm getting there.
My priest could be
I choose
the
not to exert the full force of my righteous wrath. Now, the character I've been playing a lot recently is Surveillance. And Surveillance is this stealthy, sneaky, sword-swinging guy that goes around and assassinates people and does crimes. Have we talked about this in the show? I have issues with playing a villain. I mean, I've been spending most of my time there, too, because Manda spends most of her time there. But I'm not really comfortable doing the crimes. It just doesn't excite me.
So you're not a fan of, Grand Theft Auto?
No, not really. Dang. So now you're not a massive online game player at all, are you, at the moment?
Not anymore.
Yeah.
I played EverQuest a ridiculous amount. Matter of fact, I was the first druid in the entire game to hit level 70 after that expansion came
out. That is ridiculous.
Wow.
We did a 24-hour experience grind in Plane of Fire, and all the guys in this house were the first ones to hit 70.
But he's doing more, man. He's playing Civilization 4.
I'm piddling with it.
Mostly, I don't have that as much time for games
He's
anymore.
The Dan Quayle of civilization.
You realize we're completely losing that segment of our audience.
That doesn't play any of crap. Come on, you think anybody's listening to the show? If there's anybody listening to our show, say in the chat room, if you don't play computer games at all, let us know.
And we'll convince you.
if you pretend play computer games ridiculously small amount.
Most of us, most of our listeners download us via podcast or in some other way.
Right.
So
they gotta be tech savvy.
Email us too if you're a non gaming geek.
And you know, I'm also wildly addicted to FreeCell. Just Windows FreeCell. So if that's the kind of computer games you play, that counts.
I played a lot of Zuma.
I am a level 32 FreeCell player now.
Wow. What's your win-loss
ratio? Azuma is a freaking awesome little shooter.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I have the deluxe version so that I can get all the levels.
Azuma's this game. It's
PopCap.com.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll try it.
All right.
I know PopCap.
All right, let's move on. So who wants to do some news?
News?
Russell,
news?
We're not just going to talk about video games all day?
Nah, let's move on.
I got a song for you after the show.
Yes, we will have to do a special all video games episode sometime. But
we did open the show today with the Pretenders doing their song Space Invader.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually wildly appropriate for us to talk about computer games right now.
Instead of one news, I'd like to do two very short bits highlight some ways in which, unfortunately, Europeans are cooler than us.
All right.
Number one is The Guardian, the mainstream newspaper in England, talking about the fact that the Roman Catholic theology is changing to get rid of the concept of limbo. And the headline of this piece is just awesome. It's Babies to be Freed from Limbo.
Well, now, wait a minute.
Which is great because, you know, it really does highlight the fact that the church is just all making this shit up. Because it's not like there was a limbo when the church thought
there was and now there isn't. Right. It's not like they're closing it down.
Well, now,
right.
Isn't there something
about turning it into a parking lot?
Yeah.
Isn't the Pope supposed to be infallible? Or I know there's certain restrictions on what he says and stuff.
Well,
the Pope wrong then and right now?
The article says the world's 30 leading Roman Catholic theologians were meeting behind closed doors in the Vatican yesterday, that was November 29th, to discuss a document which would sweep the concept out of the church's teaching.
Wow.
Limbo was concocted in the 13th century as a solution to the theological conundrum of what happened to babies who died before they were christened.
Right.
According to doctrine, they could not go to heaven because their original sin had not been expunged by baptism, yet they had done nothing to harm anyone, so they scarcely deserved purgatory, let alone hell.
Like anybody else did deserve it.
Right.
But okay. Yeah.
Continue.
Limbo also provided a useful solution to other problems, such as where to put holy people who lived before Christ and also had no chance of baptism.
Right.
Dante added the classical sages. John Paul II was deeply troubled by limbo and had it dropped from the church's 1992 catechism, a summary of its beliefs. He also asked the International Theological Commission, which advises the Vatican, to take up the issue. When he was still a cardinal, the present Pope Benedict said he was in favor of dropping the concept, so it is unlikely that the theologians will decide otherwise.
So what does happen to the babies?
But the issue of where that leaves Plato is, as they say, in limbo.
Now, some of those babies have been in there a long, long time. Are they still babies?
I
heard something.
Oh, they kind of
who changes their diapers?
I heard something else on this story, where when confronted with, okay, then where do the babies go?
Yeah,
they say God is wise enough to
decide
and you know.
Well, you know, some whatever, like religions
No, these guys apparently were saying that.
Well, yeah, some religious groups actually think there's such a thing as the age of accountability, where if you're younger than, I don't know, 10, then you automatically get a free trip to heaven, which sucks if you just hit your 10th birthday.
Right.
Because your eternity is decided right there.
Right.
Hmm.
The other quick story.
Wait, I want to talk about that one again.
All right,
because
okay.
that just that's I agree with you, Russell. That just makes it transparently obvious that they've simply been making this shit up all along.
Yeah.
That's right. Basically, they could just as easily go, no, it's 27 angels that can dance on the head of a pin, not 25. You know, it's like, okay.
So, it's like, you know, they took a vote, their theologians took a vote, and then that afternoon, God had to, like, you know, take a moment and say, okay, God, we've got, like, 52 billion babies in limbo, and he sorts them out.
Apparently, the church has checks and balances.
With conveyor
there's
belt?
There's God, who's like the president, and then the Catholic Church, who is like Congress. And you would...
Ew!
You would think that God has absolute veto power no matter what they say, but apparently not.
He signed an agreement saying that whatever they upheld, he would upheld. Uphold.
Did they?
Okay.
It's not really that big of a surprise to me that they're voting on all this stuff. I mean, everything about this has been voted on, and the Council of Nicaea, Laodicea, all of those that establish which books are holy, it was just votes, political power.
Right,
you know, in a struggle, and if you
right
if
when you don't have any, when you have absolutely no evidence whatsoever to base your beliefs on, all you can go on is, you know, what your appointed wise guys can agree on.
Right,
that's
These handful of guys here seem pretty holy, so we'll take their word for it.
Right.
And that's surely God must talk to them more than he talks to me.
Yeah, that's why I have to laugh every time I hear, like, the Bible Answer Man be asked this serious question about, you know, some of the finer details about what it's going to be like in heaven or hell. And he says, well, you see, our corporeal bodies will actually, they'll be with us, but they'll be cured of all illness, and they'll reach an ideal age. And it's so obvious that he's just, he doesn't know.
Who's this dickweed?
The Bible Answer Man.
Oh. Yeah.
He comes on at 6 here on the religious station.
Wow.
He just makes stuff up for however long.
So there's
he's
babies.
God's
but
FAQ.
Like, have they been experiencing the passage of time? Did anybody change their diapers? Did they anybody feed them? Are there any boobies around for them to suck on? I mean, what?
Limbo.
What? Huh?
You probably don't poop or eat in limbo. I don't know.
So they've just been, you know, floating around, bouncing into each other in this zero-G empty space?
It's like cosmic bumper cars.
Are they crying? I mean...
I don't know.
What the hell? Do they age? Do they have any concept of the passage of time? Like, do we get a baby...
There's a lot of unanswered questions.
Babies born, like, you know, 7,000... Well...
And now the questions
will never
be answered.
Because it would be infinitely old. That's let's get a baby, like, 6,000 years old that, you know, were conceived in a time when man was living in the deserts of Israel.
Right.
And because that's all there was to the world. And now they're waking up and, like, you know, looking down from heaven and going, oh, shit, space travel.
It gets worse. It gets worse.
Yes?
When do the Catholics say the soul goes into the body?
Catholics?
This is what we're talking about here.
Conception.
At conception. So we got any number of just little fetuses and microscopic stuff floating around there, too.
Oh, yeah, because if you miscarry, you're
still born.
Because if you miscarry, and God's the greatest abortionist of all, so, yeah, you miscarry.
You imagine, like, walking down the street in heaven, read the newspaper, and all of a sudden there's this rain of fetuses. Ah, shit, they opened up the gates to limbo.
So anyway,
now
you're pretty gross down
but
there.
This still leaves open-ended the question of, now that limbo's gone, what actually does happen? Because they brought up the question,
but they didn't answer
it.
Well, they're going to add up, they're going to open up a PvP zone, and they're also instituting, God's also instituting a tutorial level.
Player versus player for you non-gamers. Where they'll all, like...
Kill each other.
Yeah.
And
last
since
man,
what they're going to do is they're opening up a tutorial level you have to play before birth, and that's where your spirit goes before you go into a body, and that's the point at which, as soon as that tutorial opens up, they're going to be able to say, well, you know, there's no longer any excuse. Everybody has heard of Jesus because you heard about him in the tutorial. So, if you don't believe in them, you go straight to hell.
Right.
BBB.
Well, I don't know. These boundary conditions always bother me. Like, like The Age of Accountability, for instance. I mean, basically what you've got is eternal happiness or eternal torture.
Yeah.
And it seems like sometimes you have, like, absolutely the thinnest of margins separating you from one or the other in Christian theology.
Oh, but that's perfect for the Christian theology.
In Jack Chick, in Jack Chick tracts, okay,
mm-hmm.
Chick.com, there's always this moment, right, where the sinner gets down on his knees and says, you know, oh God, I know I'm a sinner, you know, please forgive me and let me into heaven. And they go, that's it, you're saved, you've just moved from hell to heaven. Which is great, but like, what if you have a heart attack while you're in the middle of your confession? You're like,
right.
Oh God, I know, and you're in hell.
Yeah. Exactly. But, you know, it's in the interest of religions to keep their rules somewhat unfair. That's where the terror comes from, that they use to frighten people into signing up. If it was completely fair, you'd go, well, yeah, okay, sure. But if it was completely fair, you wouldn't have to sign up for the freaking religion.
Yeah, you know, religious people often talk about how religion brings them peace and comfort and everything else. I'll admit that, you know, there may be some of that. You know, I was a Christian for 20-some-odd years. What I do see a lot from religionists is a near constant state of anxiety whenever they're contemplating their own morality, or their own mortality. Sorry. You know, is, did I do it right? Did I, right. You know, am I really saved? Have I screwed up enough that, you know, God would abandon me? Am I, oh, you know, this? And so that they, it's an impetus to keep them going back to church, keep them participating, keep them donating cash.
Well, again, right. Referring back to the theology of Jack Chick, I think the notion in some Protestant circles is basically once you're saved, that's it. You don't have to be afraid anymore of whether you're good enough or not. Which means I could get down on my knees right now and say, God, please forgive me, and then say, okay, I'm an atheist again, and I'm still saved.
Whoa.
Right, except that they will also say that if you turn around and say you're an atheist again, then you didn't really ever believe.
There are
that
people
you were lying.
Then you should be worried.
That's the other thing, is they're, you know, having set up these arbitrary conditions, they have no compunction whatsoever about just making shit up about you in order to turn everybody's, other people's conception of you into something that will fit their religious.
Well, then of course people are worried, because even if they've accepted Jesus Christ, they still have to ask themselves time whether they really meant it.
But remember that study that we cited a couple of months back of that claimed to have discovered that the people with the least fear of death were the strongly religious, and the people with the most fear of death were the weakly religious, and atheists were somewhere in the middle.
Right.
Right. Which is exactly what you'd expect, because the whole religion thing is about addressing that fear of death, and just to eradicate it completely, you've got to go for the whole package, right?
Right. And if you're deeply religious, well, then you're smugly sure that you're going to heaven.
And you know, when I talk about the terror, I mean, I think a lot of that fear of death is generated by, in the minds of the weakly religious, is generated by religion. Because if nobody had ever told you, hey, you gotta decide if you are gonna throw your life in with Christ or not, right? Nobody ever, or else there's a chance that you will be tortured forever.
Forever, right.
A lot of that fear of what's going to happen to you after death wouldn't even freaking be there.
Yeah, it wouldn't exist.
Yeah, depending on what doctrine you actually believe, I get a lot of emails from Christians when I'm debating who tell me that they believe that I'm still going to heaven because I was a Christian at one point. The once saved, always saved. And a lot of that comes down to what your definition of apostasy is. Apostasy being one of the only unforgivable.
We had a call on the ACA's TV show, the Atheist Experience. We had a caller once who said that there's one unforgivable sin, and that was to blaspheme God. I forget what
it's,
it was.
Yeah, it's blasphemy of God or the Holy Spirit. It's apostasy.
Right, and
that's actually a pretty hard one to break.
So if you break that one, then there's no way Christians can ever convert you at all? There's like, it's a complete waste of your time. And he said, yeah. I said, cool. So, you know, F you, God.
Well, that's
now
that's
get
not
off
it,
my
though.
Case, dude.
That's not it by the traditional definition of apostasy. It's in the only way to actually blaspheme God or the Holy Spirit would be to attribute something God has done to somebody else.
Oh,
to say or to really? Some other entity, you know, be like saying God didn't create the world; Satan created the world.
Oh,
that.
What
sort
if
of,
you say it's natural causes?
Well, see, now you're not actually attributing it to some person.
Ah, crap. What
if I
pick
say
a completely different religion?
Okay,
and
what
then
if,
leave me alone.
What if I
sort of
say
insane.
Thank you, doctors, for curing me of my cancer with your chemotherapy, when in fact it was a miracle and you just didn't know it?
Well, see, the thing... Well, I don't know. Now you've gotten into the realm of what you didn't know. But, so they juggle this definition around, and basically it's every time somebody says it to me that they believe that I'm going to go to hell or go to heaven because I used to be a Christian, it's always, always in the context of, I don't think you're a bad person, and I don't think atheists are necessarily immoral. But all morality comes from God, and you guys are supposed to burn in hell. I think you're the exception.
Right. No, sure. I'm in exactly the same boat with my parents. Right. I'm sure. I know my parents think I'm going to heaven, even though they are in the business of telling people that to get to heaven, you got to be a Christian. So, yes,
right.
Dennis.
It's just weird. Okay, what happened to the original plan where if you obey all the God's rules, then you get into heaven?
I can answer that.
What? Nobody was making it in, and so God said,
I'm
going
to put on my Protestant hat, because I do listen to the Bible Answer Man so much. The answer is, yeah, if you were perfect, then you'd have a free pass into heaven.
Right.
But God's rules are so strict that nobody ever follows them all. Which
So he had to lower his standard?
Yeah. Yes, he did.
Oh, okay.
Well, he didn't actually lower his standards. What he did is he pulled this stunt where he had a kid and then him killed horribly in front of a bunch of people.
Right. So and he lowers his standards.
For that, no.
To let people who are not perfect.
It's not lowering the standards. The standards are the same, right? But the standards
but the forgiveness makes you perfect?
No, dude.
What is it?
Dude.
No, this is my Bible Answer Man
impression.
The
signing up for Jesus thing makes it so that you get in even though you didn't meet the standard.
When you accept the virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you accept the virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are no longer cloaked in the filthy rags of your own goodness, but cloaked in the shimmering personage of Jesus Christ or some shit like that.
So there's like
it's like trying to get into a country club and needing the recommendation of a current member. Jesus is recommending you, even though you're a piece
of
crap.
If you don't have the recommendation of a current member, you might, if you can show all the right credentials. They might let you in anyway, but that's an extremely high
standard. The
standard
to get into heaven was, you have to be sinless, right?
Pretty much,
now they're letting sinful people in.
Yeah.
So that's a lowering of a standard. Obviously, it has to be.
But Jesus is vouching for you.
Doesn't matter.
And so the standard is now if you're sinless or Jesus vouches for you.
I'm gonna turn my great power of nitpicking now this issue,
go
like
ahead.
I previously was turning against one of our listeners. if I say that 5 + 3 = 8.
Okay.
Right? I've said 5 + 3 = 8.
Sure. Right?
If I say 8 is also 8, if I say 4 + 4 = 8,
right?
The 5 + 3 = 8 still counts. I've added additional rules. I haven't reduced the rule that already was there. Have I? I haven't reduced
but
the rule.
The analogy is you're saying 4 = 8. And that's clearly not so.
No, okay, look at it this way.
He's God, man.
That's true. God could say 4 = 8,
and it would be 8. Yeah.
Okay, I feel dumb for constantly arguing the Christian side, but here we go.
Oh, me too.
The rule was always, let's say, that to get into heaven, you have to A, be sinless, or right. be recommended by a sinless person.
Oh, okay.
The problem was, until Jesus, there was no sinless person to recommend
you. I can
you.
Simplify it even
okay.
further,
yeah.
right? The rule was always, you had to be acceptable in the eyes of God.
Oh, okay. And to be acceptable
there were
in the eyes of God, his son has to die.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And that's
so
freaking crazy
right.
and stupid and insane,
insane
and
it's all about
cruel,
insanity. Yeah.
Cruel and barbaric. Those, that's all true, but... No, it's not the lowering of the standards.
God, it's so weird.
It's a tacking on of an additional rule.
All
right.
Yeah. Go ahead. Oh, you had another little story. You
well, yeah,
you
had
this one went, went so
rolling.
Long.
No, go ahead.
Okay.
Still your turn.
The other thing where European religious people are slightly cooler than American religious people.
Yeah.
German youths offer R-rated Bible calendar. A German Protestant youth group has put together a 2006 calendar with 12 staged photos depicting erotic scenes from the Bible,
cool.
including a bare-breasted Delilah cutting Samson's hair and a nude Eve offering an apple. There's the whole range of biblical scriptures simply bursting with eroticism, said Stefan Wies,
cool.
the 32-year-old photographer who took the titillating pictures. Ann Romer, 21, poses on a doorstep in garters and stockings as the prostitute Rahab, who is mentioned in both New and Old Testaments.
Wait a minute. A 32-year-old photographer is not a youth. Who are the youths?
Youths are clearly in the pictures.
Right.
Although I have to say, I've been to this site.
These are naked kids?
21.
Okay, I'm confused.
I don't
Who is offering the calendar? The photographer or some group
youth
of kids?
Group, I guess the
youth group
okay. hired the 32-year-old.
Okay, got it. Now I understand.
Or he was their supervisor or something.
He just arranged them into the poses.
Yes. We wanted to represent the Bible in a different way and to interest young people, she told Reuters. Anyway, it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that you are forbidden to show yourself nude.
Cool.
Do they
recreate that huge mural of the last orgy?
I'm not familiar with
that. Okay.
If you want to check out the pictures, or two of the pictures actually, go to www.biblecalendar.de, and it's spelled in a German way. So it's Matt. You typing this? www.biblecalendar.de. Now, to show both sides of the story, I'm not all that impressed with the models.
How is that the other side of the story?
That you would want to go see this is one side of the story.
Mm. All right. Speaking of naked ladies.
What?
I've got a segue.
Go for it.
A molecule of passionate love. Scientists say they have identified a molecule linked to the first flames of romantic love.
Ooh.
The molecule becomes more concentrated in the bloodstream during the early stages of romance, the researchers said. The concentrations die down to normal by about 1 year later. The scientists, with the University of Pavia in Pavia, Italy, published their findings in the November 9 issue of the research journal Psychoneuroendocrinology.
Wow.
Wow, I said that whole word. Damn. In view of the complexity of a sentiment like love, it would not be surprising to find that a diversity of biochemical mechanisms are involved, they wrote. But one of them, they said, appears to be this molecule called nerve growth factor, or NGF. In a study with 58 participants, they found that its level was significantly higher in the subjects in the early phases of love than in either the subjects with a long-lasting relationship or the subjects with no relationship, they wrote. In 39 subjects in love who, after 12 to 24 months, maintained the same relationship but were no longer in the same mental state to which they had referred during the initial evaluation, blood plasma NGF levels decreased and became indistinguishable from those of other participants.
Hmm.
Taken together, these findings suggest that some behavioral and or psychological features associated with falling in love could be related to raised NGF levels in the bloodstream. So,
they found a correlation.
Cheap shot. When the next time some Christian tells me, tries to get away with proving God exists by saying God is love, I'm going to say, God is NGF? Nerve growth factor?
You can't measure love! Well, actually, no, a blood test. Yes.
I want to know if you can get, like, booster shots.
Yeah, what happens to somebody who's not in love and you inject him with a bunch of...
People are... I mean, human beings, we have this tendency...
We have to find out whether the chemical creates the love or the love creates the chemical.
Yeah, when we hear that there are naturalistic physical explanations for, like, emotions and things, mm-hmm. the first reaction is always the, you know, Frankenstein knee-jerk rejection reaction, which is...
I'm a machine.
Mankind must not tamper with these things. It makes me less special. It never occurs to him that, you know, hey, you know, if you want to remain deeply, remain feeling deep love for your partner, maybe discoveries like this will make that possible.
Ooh, that's
if you you want to choose to go on feeling that, you know, deep emotional commitment, deep emotional attraction, that when we understand this stuff, we will be able to choose to do that.
Hmm.
Or have it done to us against our will, but that's
right.
A whole. That's a whole lot.
Put it in the food. Yeah,
yeah, good. And that's not creepy at all.
Hey, can I backtrack for 1 second? Because
yeah.
The last story about the Bible calendar reminded me of another story that we got.
Yeah.
Atheist Agenda, an atheist group at UTexas San Antonio,
yeah. I heard about this.
Staged a Porno for Bibles event where they gave free pornography to people who traded in religious scripture.
They called it Smut for Smut.
Yeah. Exchange of religious scripture for porn, November 29th, 30th, and December 1st. I'm not sure how many Bibles
that,
are.
That's been done at UT also.
Yeah.
Cool.
But this was just the other day, so I thought I mentioned it.
And they did what with all the Bibles?
I don't know. I don't know how many Bibles they got or what.
I heard they got like about 4 or something, but
oh.
I don't know what my news is.
Not enough people went to motels to pick up the Gideon.
Could be.
Funny. Dennis, you want to do a news thing?
Well, let's see what I got here. Okay. There's supposedly a charities bill. Both sides in the debate over mandatory financial disclosure for churches are lobbying in anticipation of a House vote on the bill as soon as January. State Senator Marion Walsh's bill, which would require religious charities to publicly file the same financial reports as other charities in the state, overwhelmingly passed the Senate last month.
What state?
So this is a state
yes.
thing.
What state? Well, if it comes up, we'll know. I don't freaking care. That's
MA?
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
Well,
I would think.
Yeah, of course, that's where all those liberals hang out.
Right.
So, still, good idea.
Yeah.
Good idea. Absolutely, that should be the case.
Said,
you know, they're driven to this because of the behavior of the Catholic Church when faced with lawsuits because of priestly pedophilia, because this whole thing erupted in Boston, right?
Uh-huh.
That has driven the state, the Catholic Church's constant efforts to hide how much money it's got so it can pretend that it can't afford to pay these lawsuits.
Mm-hmm.
That's where this comes from.
Yeah, and the filing exemption for religious charities has only been in place since the mid-1950s because of the clout of the Catholic Church in the state at the time, rather than because of a concern with separation of church and state. Because now the religious are saying, oh, it's a church and state issue, the state should stay out of the church. No. You're a religious charity? Sorry. You gotta file.
Cool.
Like everyone else.
Let me do a little quick little additional science tidbit here.
Can I mention the show is more than half over, and there were two themes that we wanted to touch on today.
Yeah, why don't we go straight to that? You're
okay.
Right. So, which theme do you want to hit first?
How about the...
We already did the love theme.
I think I'd like to do what leads into the infidel guy.
We don't have a love theme for this show.
You just did
We'll have to have somebody write us a love theme.
I think I'd like to do what leads into the infidel guy.
all right.
Cool, go for it.
And what you had sort of a story arc in mind that started with the professor.
Yes, do your professor.
All right.
Yeah.
A University of Kansas professor who angered conservative lawmakers mm-hmm. with comments about intelligent design and religious fundamentalism has apologized.
might I immediately correct that story?
Okay.
He didn't anger them by making those statements.
Yes.
He angered them by setting up a course where he was going to teach creationism as mythology.
Good point.
And then they hunted around for something to accuse him with.
Yes.
And they found some email where he was disrespectful of their fucking retarded, stupid, idiotic, right-wing, fundamentalist religious beliefs.
But luckily, they'll never find that kind of dirt on us.
No. No, we're unbiased.
As long as they
I'm
don't
not
listen
a professor.
To the
I don't have to worry about being able to.
Yeah.
All right, but go on. Plus, I'm not talking to Christians right now. If any Christians get hold of this, you know, when I talk to you, I'll use the words that I want to use when I'm talking to you. You people do the exact same freaking thing. We know what you say about us in church, but then if you have a touchy-feely conversation
yeah.
about, you know, beliefs and stuff with us, you'll come up with that crap like you tell Matt, where, oh yeah, you're really supposed to freaking burn in hell forever, you Satan-worshipping atheist. But you'll tell him, in order to get your hooks in so you can manipulate him and try to draw him back into the faith, you will tell him anything, including that all the rules of your religion suddenly, mysteriously, in his case, don't apply to him, just so you can keep going with your little chat.
So are you
so after you?
Huh? In defense, that professor wasn't talking to Christians either.
Right.
Right. No, I'm just saying... I'm not claiming moral high ground here. I'm claiming moral level playing field, right?
Yeah.
When we're not talking to them, we will tell one another what we think of them. When we're in public and we're worrying about a public forum and how it's going to be taken, of course we will be more careful with our words.
Okay.
So will you. How dare you fucking go after this guy for something he said to some other people who agreed with him in private?
Yeah. I'm confused now. Is our official stance that it's a good thing to be what some people might call two-faced?
No, it's a fact of life.
Yeah.
You need to be able to, you know, be blunt with people at certain times,
mm-hmm.
and you need to not be blunt with people at other times.
I agree.
So, go for it. You got one sentence out.
Religious studies professor Paul Marecki's apology came as his department formally approved a new elective class titled Special Topics in Religion, Intelligent Design and Creationism, to be taught in spring.
Which, by the way, they have since canceled.
When did they cancel it?
I just saw it in
yesterday, in the
Atheist Infidels Newswire.
Well, that sucks.
Now,
yes. On
the one hand, I think it's important. Here's a guy who said something which may go to motive and does bring up a question as to how biased the course may be.
Right.
And I think that's a legitimate complaint.
Yeah.
And the university should review the course and find out what the curriculum is and if it's biased. And if it's not, then who gives a shit who complains about it? If it's a legitimate elective course
right.
that is non-biased, put the fucker back in where it's supposed to be.
Exactly. Right, rather than doing the hard work of actually checking to see if the course was biased,
they simply canceled it.
Now, if their real concern was...
No, they canceled it to do a review.
Oh, did they?
They didn't necessarily say...
Oh, that's not what I read.
I don't think we'll see this course again.
Yeah.
But what they announced was that they had pulled the course from the curriculum and were wanting to review whether or not this course was appropriate.
Oh, okay, but then that's fine.
Because this story, which came out last Wednesday, so it's old, but it says, the university has vowed to review the process that led to the creation of the course, but has stood behind Marecki.
Yeah.
The class was approved by a faculty group on Monday. In a written statement, KU Provost David Schulenberger said that, quote, given the current national debate, it is especially appropriate that intelligent design and creationism be treated as academic subjects in a university-level religious studies class, which is what pissed them off, because they wanted it to be in a science class, which it isn't.
Poor babies.
So it's, I guess it's a little...
It's up in the air, maybe.
It's a little unclear exactly what's happening here, but no, I agree with Matt, and if his information is correct, then I think the university is doing the right thing, right?
Okay.
If you were teaching a, you know, history of World War II class... And your professor was found talking about those dirty Jews and what a great guy Hitler was,
right.
You might want to review his class to make sure that he's teaching the actual facts. Or you might want to say, wow, our university just will not tolerate those kinds of attitudes from our people and fire him. I don't know. There's rules about how we can fire professors, but you know what I mean, right? It's
right.
Either the guy's problem, or if he's able to go ahead and teach information.
I don't think I read the actual offensive part yet.
Oh yeah, of course. We want to read that into the record.
This is into the record. The fundies want it all taught in a science class, Marecki wrote in the email, but this will be a nice slap in their big fat faces by teaching it as a religious studies class under the category mythology.
Yeah.
Now, those are statements that I could easily see that myself writing on a message board.
I've said far worse than that.
Yeah. You probably shouldn't have said fat.
Yeah.
Take that personally.
Yeah,
Falwell.
I
poor
agree.
Falwell. I know he's trying to watch his weight.
I like how he signed it, though. Doing my part to tick off the religious right, evil Dr. P. How he signed off. And that's just guys talking among themselves. I mean, good
yeah.
grief.
Yeah, but, you know, a university does have a responsibility to worry about its reputation.
That's true.
And that is valid, and if they wanted to throw this guy out on his ass, he did make a big mistake. I mean, I have the same sort of opinion about Bill Clinton, right?
Right.
Doinking an adult woman in his office when he's married is potentially
a violation.
Let me finish. I mean, if Hillary had a problem with it, or if he was, you know, if he was lying to her, that is a personal misdeed, right?
Right.
And on that level, I think that it would be wrong, right?
Yeah.
But Doinkiner, while he knows that there's this like huge effort to find something on him, find some dirt on him,
right.
And destroy his presidency, is just completely freaking stupid. That was stupid.
Yeah.
So even though I don't think it was bad enough to justify getting him out of the White House itself, the actual action wasn't.
Right. He should have known.
I'm not
going
to let him completely off the hook just because I think it's unfair that they were trying to find some dirt on him. People all the time are going to try to find dirt on each other. They're constantly struggling to try to get their views dominant. You need to be aware of that. And if you're going to put yourself in a position where they can catch you doing something embarrassing, and it matters to you, you shouldn't do that embarrassing thing.
I completely agree.
Yep.
Yes, Matt.
I found a little bit of conflicting information, so I wanted to go ahead and get this news report. Professor Marecki pulled the course himself.
Oh, he did? Well, yeah, but...
He removed it. So he thought about it long and hard over the week. He's pulled it. The chancellor said that his email comments were repugnant and vile and don't represent the university.
Actually, he was representing fundamentalists, but...
Right, but the
he's characterizing fundamentalists.
That he pulled it himself sounds like those guys who say, after this big scandal, but completely unrelated to it, I am quitting to spend more time with my family.
Yeah. Well, anyway, one of the KU representatives said the university is still committed to the course. At such time as we have appropriate faculty to teach it, it'll be taught, but it won't be taught by Professor Marecki.
Okay.
Ah,
that's an even better solution.
I think
that guy embarrassed himself.
I think that's a lie.
You think it's a lie?
I think we should mark this down, put it on the calendar. When is KU going to introduce this course? And bring it up every time there's a new semester or whatever, and say, "Hey, are you adding it now?" Because I'm willing to bet that in over the next couple of years you don't see this course at all.
Huh.
Hmm.
I think this is just a way of placating everybody to
you
say,
think so? Well, it is the right. It is the. It is a description of the right thing to do.
Yeah,
I think
and
that is entirely
appropriate.
You can
always come back later and say, you know what? We found that the information contained in the course could be better taught in other classes, in different pieces, and there was no need for this specific course. And it's all realistic. But I think mostly this is just to get the issue to go away.
Yeah.
All right, so so this dovetails into something I'm kind of nervous and hesitant about talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, did we talk about that other? Did we talk about this upcoming show last time? The Reginald Finley wife swap thing.
Yes,
did we talk
we
about
did.
It on the show. Well, that's happened
I've
now.
I made sure to plug it.
There was a gathering at Russell's house. Instead of playing games one night, we watched Wife Swap.
Reginald Finley is known as the infidel guy, yeah. And is one of the, I'm not sure if I should say pioneers, but, you know, he does a good atheist internet radio
show.
He's
certainly one of the earliest people out there with an atheist audio show, and has made a name for himself. Our show used to come out in his as part of his atheist network, and there was some politics involved there in the sense that we talked both to this network,
right,
which is called what?
FreeThoughtRadio.com.
Yeah, FreeThoughtRadio. And we talked to Reginald Finley.
And we may not want to go into this.
I just think, for full disclosure, right, it was a tough decision at the time. At the time, we felt that it was in our best interest to go with Reggie. Then the situation seemed to change to us, and we made the decision that we thought was in our best interest to come to
Free Thought Radio.
Free Thought Radio. Stop it. And we like everybody involved here, and we've got no bones to pick with Reggie, and we certainly don't have any. We certainly didn't stay away from Free Thought Radio for any, you know, personal issues.
Absolutely.
There was no emotionally negative.
Nor did we leave Atheist Network for personal reasons.
Well, we're concerned about is trying to reach an audience, and we do, you know, make pragmatic decisions to do that in a way we just think will work best for us. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
So now Reginald Finley and his wife got involved in this TV show, Wife Swap.
Right.
Where what they do is, for I think a period of 2 weeks, the wife of each of two different families trade places, and they have to live for a week like the wife that they've replaced,
mm-hmm.
and then in the next week they get to impose their own rules and run the house their way.
Right.
In theory, right?
And we read the press release a couple of weeks ago that
right.
talked about what this show was going to be like. And they seem to be portraying Reggie's family in a very negative light.
Yeah.
And we thought, well, maybe the TV show won't come off like this.
Yeah. But then we watched the TV show.
Uh-huh.
And it did come
it
off
did.
Like that.
Oh, wow.
It's nitpicky little stuff. I will just limit my comments to saying that there are certain things that the commentator on the show said which I knew were false and biased.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I knew were false and therefore assumed were biased. And there are certain things that the Christians, the Christian family on the show said which I knew were false and assumed therefore are biased. And then there were some criticisms made of Reggie and his family on the show by those two parties which were not echoed by anybody in Reggie's family,
right?
That are presented, you know, on the show as if they're facts,
right?
And it just struck me as I can't trust these people. I cannot trust them to fairly characterize what's actually going on with Reggie and his family.
Yeah,
just seemed, you know, terrible. So,
okay. For the definitive treatment on this show from Reggie's side,
yeah.
You really have to go to infidelguy.com right now. and
well,
look
not
for,
right now. We're still,
well,
still doing our show.
After,
later on today,
after
if you, want.
You hear our show,
when there's nothing, when there's nothing that you listen to on this fine network,
right? Yeah,
playing.
What the hell am I thinking? When there's a
such
rerun,
a freaking minefield. We like everybody. Please don't get mad at us.
Sometime on your iPod, like I have, if you don't already download stuff from freethoughtradio.com, you really should go check out infidelguy.com, where you'll find three things. Number one is a thread which last time I checked had about 30 pages of posts on it,
right,
devoted to discussing this episode,
right,
with some really top-notch analysis of the camera tricks by one of the members. Number two is a discussion that Reggie had on his show the night before Wife Swap aired with the preacher husband
whose family
the other family.
Yeah.
Where Reggie, if I may say so, completely kicked this guy's ass on philosophical issues.
I'm going to disagree with you there.
You did?
Because one of the things I'm going to say, even though I want everybody to know there's no personal animosity here, I think Reggie is a terrible debater.
Mm.
I think he had some callers that asked some very excellent questions. But I think Reggie did not do a real good job. That's kind of what I want to get. Well, maybe we can, as long as we can disagree with each other, then we can provide a fair and balanced analysis. But
Welcome to Fox News. Let's
move on. let's move on to you know, the rest of the details.
Okay, but the important one is the 3-hour show that Reggie and Amber, his wife, did after the show aired, where they talked about what they saw really happening, and it's frankly astounding, assuming that they're mostly telling the truth, what kind of manipulation the show did to make the situation look completely unlike it actually was.
Yeah, and now I haven't heard that one. I did hear Reggie's debate with Pastor Stone Rock.
Yes,
but
I listened to that one live.
I haven't listened to the other one, but I already concluded just from watching the show.
Right,
that it was unfair and biased.
Yeah, and we discussed that, but it went way beyond what we discussed.
Right. Well, I plan on listening to that one. So,
yeah, because when I had watched the show, I didn't think that it was extremely unfair. I thought that it was definitely biased and that it was unfair in some areas. But you know, and the feel of it painted a picture that I thought was unfair. But I didn't think the show overall was that bad. In that,
well, bias is one thing, but they portrayed things that were flat out untrue.
And that's what I found out, you know, when I listened to him and his wife talk about it. And if you listen to the audio, I don't know, maybe I'm just a poor judge of character, but listen to them actually talking about it and going through their memory even after so long of a time, they came across as honest, and there were things that were, you know, in the show that...
Okay, let me get into a couple of specifics.
Okay.
The angle that the show took was basically... Reggie is a work-obsessed dad who never spends any time with his family. Amber is a computer game freak, which we can all identify with at this table, who sends her kids to daycare just so she can have more time vegging out playing The Sims. And they never go outside.
Uh-huh.
And once they decided on this storyline, because there is like a director... who actually suggests things for the characters to say, and there's an editor whose job is to slice it up into little pieces and put comments after each other so they look like they're
and
consecutive.
And this characterizes itself as a reality TV show, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh. All right.
I'll give you a couple of examples. Uh-huh. One was Reggie saying that there were a lot of times during the weeks that Kelly Stone Rock was there when he was playing outside with the kids, and they wouldn't film him because it wasn't fitting their storyline that they were hermits. And he even mentioned to them, why don't you ever have the cameras rolling when I'm outside? Because they weren't even pretending. To give you an example of some creative editing, to demonstrate that they never went outside, Amber was shown saying something like, "We don't go out there because there's too many surprises."
Yeah.
When she said out there, she was referring specifically to the backyard where the dog was, and sometimes they don't get all the poop up, and those were the surprises. But they play in the side yard.
Right.
Another example was they're saying, you know, Amber is, spends hours playing a computer game, and then they have a clip of Amber saying, "I think I'm addicted." What they don't mention is that this was that what she was mentioning being addicted to was after the kids go to bed, she and Reggie watch Babylon 5 on DVD.
Great.
And in fact, she said, "Even at the time they were filming me, I was over The Sims. I didn't play it anymore. And they asked me to play The Sims for the camera just because I had mentioned it in the interview before they came." So, I mean, there is ton of stuff like that.
Show.
Yeah, listen to the show, please. I mean, I can't portray every single thing that they said was wrong with that, but it was huge. I mean, another thing was, this is sort of in the slightly dishonest category, but they said they're not going to a daycare. It's a preschool. There's homework and everything. It's like pre-kindergarten. It's educational.
Right.
And we do it to get the kids a head start.
Mm-hmm. Well. But the thing I wanted to talk about, really, was the was Reggie and Pastor Stone Rock.
Okay.
Because that dovetails with the story of the email from the professor that has screwed up this really good idea, which is teaching about creationism as mythology, right?
Okay.
I think we all atheists need to start paying a little more attention to how we present ourselves.
Right.
I am the same guy who 5 minutes ago was like trying to think of as many bad words for fundamentalists as I possibly could, right? But I think we need to be aware the culture is starting to pay more attention to us, and it's becoming more important for us to do a good job presenting ourselves.
Right.
And
so what does that mean?
Well, I was going to use the debate with Pastor Stone Rock as an example, but
did you think he didn't
really
comport himself well in that debate?
I thought
he
didn't comport himself well. Reggie didn't.
Can you give some examples of that?
Because now if we do that, I'm just picking apart Reggie. And, but actually, in all honesty, I think Reggie is an incredibly brave guy to have done that TV show in the first place.
Yeah.
Right. To have put himself in the position where he could be abused by that freaking TV show the way he was. I have great respect for him as one of the earliest, and possibly the earliest, atheist internet audio show broadcasters around. I don't know exactly who was first.
And he's
not
in Georgia.
Giving him an award, I'm just saying, I don't know.
Yeah.
Huh?
And he's in Georgia.
Right, to be a black guy that's an out atheist?
In Georgia.
In Georgia, I mean, there is a huge amount to be impressed by and respect about him. And I'm afraid if we go there, it's just going to be nitpicking.
Well, earlier you talked about how he is debating, and somebody in the chat room made a comment that they didn't think he was very bad debating. And I've listened to Reggie off and on over the years, too. And I think he's a great guy. He does a great show. I think he makes good points. I think he has great guests.
He lines up incredible guests, yeah.
He does. And we don't do that. We're freaking lazy.
Yeah, he has a top-notch show, and he deserves all the credit in the world.
Absolutely.
The only thing is that I don't think one-on-one debating is necessarily his strong suit. I don't think he's necessarily terrible at it. I just don't think he always, he does better when he asks questions and lets callers ask questions and lets the debate feed and grow that way than when he actually gets into a one-on-one situation. And it's not because I think, you know, maybe he doesn't necessarily always make the best argument or whatever. I don't think that's it. I just think there's a comfort level. Some people just aren't that good once you get into that confrontational place of maintaining focus.
Yeah,
on
and I don't know that I would be any better.
Yeah,
I've debated people a bit on our TV show, and I've done very badly myself on occasion.
You do great, but I
let them have it.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, cool.
But, all right. I'm going to nitpick about one thing, right?
Okay.
Here's me nitpicking about one thing. And I'll back off, because I'm hearing enough people saying that they think he does a decent job.
I think he did way better on his show with Stone Rock than he did on the TV show.
Oh,
which
I'm not even counting
much.
Because that's clearly, carefully edited, restructured version of what actually went on. I think that Reggie, if you're listening to our show, this is I love you, man. I have a nitpick, and now I've built it up really high, but it's not that big of a thing. I think it would be good for us to start thinking about how the people in the general public, and I don't mean Christians necessarily, I mean the vast number of people that haven't thought very deeply in either direction, how they're going to take our arguments. And by that, what I mean is, you've got a show where you're talking entirely, and us too, right? A show where our audience is probably almost 100% other atheists all the time, right? And one thing I notice you do, Reggie, is you refer to arguments without spelling them out. You'll the Pastor Stone Rock would say something, and he'd say, yeah, but then blah 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 blah, and very quickly just mention something that makes perfect sense to all us atheists out there. But to some guy who's not even on the fence, he's just wandering around, not terribly committed to religion, but hasn't really thought very deeply about these things, doesn't know the argument you're referring to. And that's what bothered me, right? It's that, and I know Pastor Stone Rock didn't get it.
I
right?
do the same thing on our show.
I'm sure I
have caller,
too.
A caller calls in, and I'm like, oh, that's Pascal's wager. Oh, that's the teleological argument. Oh, that's the cosmological argument. And then not actually go into the detail that might explain to somebody who's not familiar with what
we're talking about. Maybe because I didn't see that, since I'd probably do it myself, that is why he came out looking so much better to me than
that,
to you.
That's my issue. Because I'm trying to look at this not as just, an atheist who agrees with him on absolutely freaking everything, right? Which I do.
Yeah.
I basically agree with him about all these things.
Well, there's
going
to be a lot of people coming to infidelguy.com after the show just curious about this guy.
Yeah.
Just like they'll go to Kelly Stone Rock's horrible, ugly website, if I may say, in an unbiased way.
I mean, we are right. I'm going to back way, way, way up about, pull the camera way, way, way back from this situation and try to look at it from a longer perspective. I think that what really drives the differences, I think that what really drives atheists and the fundamentalists is a deep-seated desire to feel that you got the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Sure.
You want to feel right. Now, I happen to think that atheism is an honest way of achieving that sensation, right? That pleasant sensation that you really have a handle on things and have some idea what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
And that religion isn't. Religion is just a technique for convincing yourself that you know what's going on.
That whatever you believe is right, regardless of how well you've researched it.
Yeah, we're, and we encounter Christians all the time who, call in our TV show in order to test their faith. And what is testing your faith? Testing your faith is just this exercise of seeing how much, how many counter-arguments you can withstand and still believe anyway.
Yeah,
because it's all just an exercise to get yourself into feeling that.
And if you don't actually listen or think about the arguments, then you can withstand any number of arguments because they don't impact you at all.
And I think the atheism or rationalism is the more honest way of getting that sensation. But the sensation itself is seductive. And my advice to everybody, because we're all being paid more attention to, any of us that talks, if you talk to you know, family members, coworkers, people on the street, TV shows, local newscasts, you know, some crazy religious thing happens and they want an opinion of an atheist, any of us could wind up talking to the press. And I think it's important for us to understand that just because we know why our arguments are valid doesn't mean that anybody else is going to understand that. It is important for us to explain ourselves.
Right.
And
Atheist Apologetics 101.
And, well, I'm not talking to freaking Christians, you know. I don't want to use that word.
Well, I mean, no, Christians, when they talk about apologetics, aren't necessarily talking to atheists.
I think nine times out of ten, though, apologists are willing to say, if they can name some, like, ancient, crusty old dead guy that said something they agreed with, they'll just reference that
drop
and figure
name.
Their job is done,
yeah.
Right? We can't do that. That's not the honest way of knowing the truth. The honest way of knowing the truth is caring what the argument really is, being able to explain it. I'm sure Reggie can explain all the arguments backing up the points that he made. It's just that Pastor Stone Rock didn't get any of that.
Right, and Reggie, I will say Reggie didn't spend nearly enough time doing the talking on his show. He let Stone Rock run away a lot.
And if Reggie is listening to this, I'm sure he's going, yeah, you know, we're some people that don't even have guests, and it's a completely different can of worms.
Yeah, what do we
know? You never can say everything that you want to say. That's fine. I don't know. I'd rather that there be one quarter as much discussion done. Cover a quarter as many topics, but cover them well, in my opinion.
Right. Like today, for example, I think we've dropped about half our news stories, so we can do two really detailed discussions.
Yeah.
And one of them was about video games.
And we're...
We've got like less than a minute left, and I've got one little announcement that's got to get out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned talking to the press on behalf of atheism.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, if you live in Austin, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, there's going to be a press conference on the steps of the Capitol, and I'll be reading a statement on behalf of the ACA with regard to the Case Daly versus Harrison County case, which is being appealed. There's a Bible monument in front of the courthouse in Houston. She won the case. The Bible was to be removed, and now Harris County's appealing it. Her lawyers called a press conference Tuesday at 2 p.m. on the steps of the Capitol, and I'll be there to read a press
conference. That's terrific. Good job, Matt. So.
I'll try to make it to that.
Is anybody going to record it? I mean, besides, videotape, you know...
Well, we called all the news people.
But we should get our own cameras down.
Yeah, because these say the cutest things.
Alrighty. Well, is it music time?
It is.
It's music time. Okay. We're going to start the closing music. That's Space Invader by the Pretenders. Thanks, everybody, for listening once again. You're all great. Thanks for hanging out in the chat room. And we'll be back in 2 weeks. Is it going to be solstice yet? 2 weeks? That'll probably be technically our show.
Yeah.
At least we'll talk about it a lot.
All right. That was really fun.
We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.